Welcome to the Wizards of Dapps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany.
Welcome back to this week's Wizards of Dapps podcast. We're talking to Conlon of Async Art. We talk about everything NFT art, programmable art, and everything about how he got started in the space of NFTs and crypto voxels and all the good stuff that you like. This podcast is supported by 1KX Capital. We're very grateful for your support. Welcome, Conlon, to Wizards of Dapps podcast.
Thanks.
I've been a big fan of your work, but you know, Conlon, your real name, or is it your username, by the way?
This is my real name, Conlon.
I'd love to know, what is your background? How did you get into this space? You know, I tend to try to dig around for someone's background usually to learn more about them. Struggle to kind of learn more about you in that sense.
My background is primarily in mobile and game development. So basically for the past 12 or 13 years, I've been in various mobile startups. And my last company I was at for 4 years was a game company called Osmo. We were building basically AR games for learning. So that's kind of been my professional background. But then I'm, you know, big cyberpunk, big cryptocurrency fan, been tracking Ethereum since early 2018 and basically was building it with the rise of DeFi. So I got my start in crypto in terms of development. And when I just saw projects, wanted to kind of get a deeper understanding of them. So I'd build a bot or a tool or some Twitter bot or something to really get into it. Sometimes use a way to meet the team because I knew I definitely wanted to work full time in crypto space. I was going around doing that. I built the first Compound liquidation dashboard when they came out. Was a huge fan of Compound. Compound and Augur were kind of my two biggest favorite projects of the time. I love Augur. I'm super excited for it. So yeah, just kind of going around building stuff for DeFi. But then last year, discovered NFTs. I was aware of them with CryptoKitties, but really got deep in with what they're all about.
What was that moment for you with NFT art? Different people have different moments where they kind of really get it and it clicks.
It was definitely CryptoVoxels. I saw CryptoVoxels when it first was getting popular. And the first time, I got to admit, I kind of slept on it. I went into it and I was like, hey, the world's kind of gray. I don't really get it. And then 6 months later, I came in for a contest. They were running a builder contest. And there were so much bigger things and skyscrapers. And it blew my mind. I was like, oh God, okay, I get it. This is the future. Something like this. Maybe not CryptoVoxels, but this is definitely the future of online spaces. And so every big NFT project has a presence in CryptoVoxels. CryptoKitties has stuff in there. OpenSea has a thing in there. You know, Marvel cards. Everyone has something in there. That's where I started discovering crypto art and the movement. Started getting into super rare. And I'm a huge don't own physical possessions person. I hate owning physical stuff. I have a bike and my computer. And those are the two valuable things I own. And so for me, buying digital art, it totally makes sense. You can have as much of it as you want. You know, a virtual room or virtual building to put it in. I don't have to worry about it breaking. I don't have to worry about it being destroyed by the rain. And also just, I don't have to worry about it being fake. When I go to flea markets or places to buy art in the real world, I have no idea if the person made 50 more editions of it. And I know it sounds counterintuitive, because some people are but you're buying digital tokens. That doesn't have value. And I'm
right, exactly. It's just an image, you know, tokenized on the internet.
Yeah. But for me, it's the opposite. I can't trust that physical stuff as much. And I did buy a physical painting once at a flea market because this guy passed himself off as an artist and these really cool pictures of these astronauts in space and floating. And it actually turned out that he had taken the art off of someone from Behance, an Australian artist. And he basically made these frames and passed off his own. So after that, I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to buy physical art anymore. Digital art. I know the artist has a big physical social presence. I can verify that this is the address they, you know, anyway, I'm going to tell you. So just got into that. And after a while, I was like, you know, I want to make my own crypto art. And the art that I want to do kind of had a gamified aspect to it. The original idea was what if there's a painting of Diablo, a bunch of characters around a fire? And what if you could own a character in that painting and control that character? So you could be I want to own that dwarven barbarian and I want to control him in a battle. And that was kind of the genesis for this concept.
It's almost Tamagotchis, right?
Yeah.
Imagine you could insert Tamagotchis into different worlds.
Exactly. You could own them and they're a living pet or a character, but art. And then imagine a painting on the wall where you could be oh yeah, the eyebrows on that painting, I own the eyebrows. And it's just such a cool, futuristic idea. And so that's kind of how I just got my start. And then I quit my job in last November and then I've been full-time on Async since December after that.
aims to like create programmable art. Right now, it's like you have these different composed pieces from different layers, like layers of NFTs, right? Other people own the different layers, is that right? If they update their own layer, like the main composition, the masterpiece changes as well. It's like a Photoshop composition. It probably came from like your idea of these the game avatars that you just mentioned. What else do you see art going? Maybe 2.5 years ago, it was like Known Origin, Super Rare. They kind of like emerged, you know, within months, within each other. You know, allowed people to mint art and buy it. And that was kind of it. And it's been like, it's definitely, the two projects have grown for like, you know, over the last couple of years, just like propagating the space, right? But what do you see the next frontier?
I know projects have tried to do this in the past, but I think that people, it's only going to grow. There's a bunch of reasons why. Like, I mean, for one, crypto art allows you to, once you tokenize your art, you have digital scarcity and you can sell your art in markets that you wouldn't have access to. It's like if you're in a small town, there's no one around, you can buy your art. Well, if you tokenize it, punch in the blockchain, put in a VR space, now someone from like Japan can come in and buy your art. So that's awesome. You could also be in a country where like politically your art is not allowed, right? Where like there's the government doesn't allow it. Well, again, put in the blockchain, punch it up, and now people can now buy it.
It fundamentally changes the market of who can buy art.
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes it more democratic because now you don't need a gallery. You don't need anything. You can just, anyone can do it. At a deeper level, I'm actually going to write a post about this around hashes, because I don't think a lot of the market understands how powerful hashing really is. Because when you take an image and you hash it and you put it on the blockchain, that's like verifiable proof that you came up with this exact image at this point in time. And I think a lot of artists, when they realize that, they're going to start, even if they don't like crypto art, just take a photo of your painting and hash it, put it on the blockchain. Because like right now, the proof that you came up with a piece of art or a concept, just ideas in general, you can use Twitter or you can use Tumblr or you can use a blog post and be like, oh, look, there's a timestamp here. But at the end of the day, that's a company saying that you had a post. And for all you know, that maybe they fake that timestamp. But if you have an idea, it is in your best interest to basically take a snapshot of it and put it on the chain. As long as Ethereum lives, that's going to live, that proof that you came up with this exact combination of bits at that point in time. I know it's super nerdy and it's going to take someone smarter in order to break it down for a mainstream audience. But that core idea is like so powerful. It's just as big as Bitcoin did for currency. This is going to do for ideas and art and creations, proofs, basically. I see that being a bigger part. So even if like DeviantArt, let's say on DeviantArt, you should just have a button to be like, pay a fee and timestamp and basisic. As long as this Ethereum blockchain lives, there's proof that I came up with this one creation at this point in time. And only matter, a Reddit post, you know, like a post. If you want to have an idea on Reddit, it's a way of immortalizing it. So I think it'll get bigger because of things like that.
Yeah, there's really interesting discussions in the space around IP licensing, right? And just like, you know, tying that in natively with like these collectibles so that it's almost like the totality of owning something, right? You own everything, including the digital ownership, as well as the actual ownership rights of using the intellectual property of this asset, right? It's almost like I can imagine, you know, the end game of this idea being like almost digital IP trolling, where they're just generating.
I'd love to talk about IP because like, I know there's a bunch of strong opinions on it. My personal opinion is that I think IP, as we go further in the future, it's going to go away. I think the notion of having digital rights to like creations taken to the nth degree when you have anonymous people creations and all these things, decentralized art platforms, it's going to go away. So our very notion of I created this, thus I get a royalty of your use of it. Legally, you know, we still have to work within that framework, but that eventually I think will go away. And it's all about, you need to change our mindsets around what it means to own a creation. Like, I mean, if I create something and the entire world knows that creation and starts putting on t-shirts and puts on like posters and all this stuff, even if I'm not going to cut from it, it's still valuable because you'll be able to say, I own the original Genesis idea for like that. Again, I haven't fully thought this through, but yep.
It's also hard to enforce, right? You know, if you have like an NFT pointing towards like, say, a Rweave file hash, how do you enforce that, you know, in any jurisdiction? You know, you can't really take it down, et cetera, you know, so it's up there. I think, you know, ultimately when you take art, you know, from existing medium or traditional medium, right, and place it completely something different that's in this fluid, you know, digital environment, you just like crossed over into a whole new field of like IP nuance. It's going to be fun to watch that happen, right? I mean, like we already saw that with the marble cards, you know, incident, you know, a while back, right? Where, you know, it was like marble carding. It's like, who the hell owns this marble card? It's like, are you rent seeking from these artists?
Marvel cards are like, I love the project. And if you think about it, it's tokenized bookmarks. It's a bookmark to your content.
It's just bookmarking. You know, it's a one big shed bookmarking.
Exactly. And I mean, I might be upset that someone in some cases made more money off a bookmark to my content than the content itself. That's a fluke. That's a one-off thing. In general, the content will always be more valuable than a bookmark.
You're not angry if someone else bookmarks it. Marble cards is that, you know, hey, like you're showing like a, you know, a preview of the artwork. So it looks like a piece of the artwork.
If I had a piece of art and someone tweeted about it and then Twitter showed the little social profile and somehow that tweet blew up and went viral and they got a million followers from that tweet, but no one actually followed the content. I mean, that's possible to happen and it might happen occasionally. But in general, if you get a viral content, you would love for a tweet to go viral because it's going to mean so much traffic and eyeballs to your content.
Did you have an art background? You know, what's your connection with art? Or did you just like literally just jump in, build a bunch of different things, you know, and then land in the art space?
I don't have a college degree, but I left high school a little early. So the only college I actually did go to was one semester of an art school. That was like kind of the closest I got to it. But I mean, I've always been into art. So basically when I make developed games, my favorite part of game development was seeing the new art come in. Like waking up in the morning, checking emails, I'm like, oh shit, new art from the artist came in. Oh, new concept art. Oh, new like portraits. Like that was the coolest part of like the day. It was kind of like Christmas. So I loved when artists would bring in new art. Because I knew for projects, that would give you the motivation to keep on going. So I can tell that like when people make these big games like Diablo 3 or something like that, a big part of the motivation for people is seeing the art develop. I think art really drives those projects.
The NFT, like the label itself, right? And you know how friendly it is for mass consumers. If you go back and look at, you know, say just like the internet itself, it's like blogs became a thing. If you actually think about the word blog, it doesn't actually mean anything.
No. Or hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. If you think about blogs themselves, they're basically online newspapers. And that's what like the first blogs on the internet were, right? But yet we call them blogs. Same with even URLs. What the hell is a URL? No one knows what they are. I would even argue, say, GIF. How the hell did GIF as a label or even PMGs, you know, like just the jargon that's exposed to like, you know, I think average internet person, you know, I think people underestimate, you know, how things take shape, right? And it's like, you know, these ideas start off very niche and they start out edgy and then edgy becomes cool. Cool becomes, you know, viral and viral spreads and, you know, that becomes something cultural, right? For Async Art, right? What is Async's mission, right? Aside from, you know, making art programmable, but, you know, what impact does it look to kind of create in the NFT art space?
Our smart contract and our renderer, those are both open source. So we did this, like anyone could basically take those and build their own programmable art platforms. And a lot of what we do, we try to make it open source. So I guess one of our big goals is to basically just build this movement and push this movement forward because Nate, one of our co-founders, he talks about this a lot, but basically there's like art meeting blockchain. Art being tokenized on the blockchain is kind of like the first thing you would try to do with it. Like, oh, we have this new blockchain technology. Let's try and tokenize it, right? But now programmable art is thinking like, okay, well, if we do have this blockchain that allows for like digital tokens and like transactions and all this stuff, what could we do from that as a baseline? And so programmable art is really like, that's what art looks like when you think about it from like with blockchain in mind. If you think of art at first and you didn't have a blockchain, yeah, you just do art and then all that. But if you had it in your back pocket.
Possibility, right?
Yeah, exactly. I see that as the end goal. I would love for programmable art to become so big that when people start learning about art, the idea of, oh, what interactions do I want to have? That's part of their brain. So basically there's composition, there's colors, there's lighting, there's all that. And interaction is one new part of their brain that they think about. And again, it doesn't mean that every piece of art has to have an interaction, but just like every piece of art doesn't have to have lighting or all this stuff. It's just a tool in the toolbox that the artist should be considering in their head because this is art for the 21st century. This is cyberpunk art. This is what art in Blade Runner, Tyrell Corporation, he would have async programmable art on his bedroom wall.
It changes what art could be. If you can compose art, you know, changes how you create the frames, I mean, all the layers, right? Yeah, I wonder, are you working with Known Origin or Super Rare, you know, on establishing like composability to some extent? Because I'd love to like, you know, start buying, do you know how cool it'd be if like I start buying different layers or just, I didn't even know that were gonna be layers, right? I buy different pieces of art, which I think might be cool layers that people might wanna pick up, right? And then, you know, for some reason, you know, I get an email one day and it's like, your layer has been composed into something else.
We're thinking about calling them assets. I won't go too deep into it, but absolutely. Like basically as an artist, what if you could create a layer not as part of a painting? So like, let's say you're a Coldy, you could be like, hey, here's a background. I don't care what piece of art it's in. Any artist can now use it. And the cool part is at that point, the art, when it's sold, it will know all the art layers that are currently being used in it, and it could distribute its royalties to all the asset contributors. Disney could create Mickey Mouse and be like, we don't care who uses it because we know that when it's in a painting, the royalties are automatically distributed. And I could specify the royalty percentage. So maybe if I'm Disney, I'm like, you know what? If my Mickey Mouse is in the painting, I'm going to get 50% of the royalties and don't use it if you don't want.
That's a great way to distribute, you know, brand assets. I'm going to charge no royalties. You can use it as much as you can as long as you compose it, right? It all leads back there. It kind of reminds you of TikTok where it's like, I'm not sure what the feature is called, but you can like take someone's video and then you put your own video aside it. Or you can take someone else's audio from video and then use it in your own video, but it links back there. There's different memes where like, you know, people do like this weird audios that you can link to. And then like someone does a video of like, don't go to the link page of this audio. And then you go to it, it's like weird memes or like, you know, extremely dark or edgy. Yeah, kind of like a trap, right? That's like a new internet joke in many senses.
I love it. I think that's how you do IP in the digital world, like where it's like, hey, you can, you know, we can use it. I don't care if you use it, but I baked it all in at this level. If I'm thinking about this objectively, the one thing that I think where we could be going astray is how much of an emphasis we put on the blockchain, on how important that is for audiences. Because like you just said, TikTok, we're building this thing. We think it's super cool. Maybe kids of tomorrow don't care that it's the power of it being on the blockchain. It's like, okay, if async art goes away, this art is still usable. You can still get a renderer. Anyone can still render it and move it. But maybe they don't care that the art won't last beyond TikTok, right? They already don't care their messages don't last beyond Snapchat. So that may be the fallacy in a lot of these movements, that people just don't care that much at a wide enough level. It might only be niche for the longest time. That's a possibility. Composability would be amazing. Like, create characters. And also think about this. You can create a character layer and imbue it with abilities. So like, here's a Mickey Mouse. When you use it, it also comes with this X and Y position movement. It comes with these three states. And so now it's not just a layer. It's like a package bundle of like behaviors and things it can do. And then you just add on to like, oh, I've added another Mickey Mouse state. I've added another head. I've added another arms. I've added things he can do, you know, so it'd be dope.
That's kind of an existential question of the NFT space, right? Does anyone really give a shit beyond, you know, these bunch of geeks on the internet, right?
And we think they will, because at some point people got to care. Like I think about, especially with art, like with games, I could see them not caring as much. But art, at some level, you want them to think your art is going to be permanent, right? And like, it's hard to say.
Even to that note, I wonder if like, you know, CryptoVoxels, like builders, possible builders, right, realize that perhaps some of the builds would last forever. Is that insane to think that, you know, as a child, I played with Lego endlessly. It'd just be insane if a kid would like play with CryptoVoxels, build their own parcel, leave it, and then like 50 years later, you know, realize, holy shit, I built this when I was like X years old.
That would be awesome, yeah. Yeah, you forget about it, you visit back and still there like some ruins.
Maybe it's even an heirloom. It just passed down.
Child, like a parcel. That'd be cool. Especially with CryptoVoxels, I think maybe in some time, parcels start to degrade over time. So if you don't visit it, maybe like the blocks start to crumble and grow weeds. So that'd be cool. You go back and it's like all weed grown, and that'd be neat.
The style. Yeah, yeah.
There's so much possibilities, and it's like frustrating. It's like, oh, why doesn't the rest of the world see how cool this is?
I think it's like one at a time, right? You know, we've got that hip hop grew from a very, very small community, mainly like from the Black communities in like, you know, say New York, right? I was talking to Matthew the other day, actually recording a podcast, and it's like, the history of hip hop is like a great kind of like narrative to study, right? Because like, how did this unique sound like just take over the entire music industry, right? Our biggest influences, like Kanye, you know, comes from that area, right? And it's like CryptoVoxels is like a new Def Jam moment. What's your favorite thing about the CryptoVoxels community?
It's a very positive community. I'd say like 99% of the community is just like super cool, very accepting, very helpful. Like you jump in, you need help, and there's almost always someone who will help you. If you want wearables, like most people will just like give you free wearables. So it's kind of like a utopian community in that sense. If you want to build a parcel, I'm like, hey, I want to learn how to do this. Someone will give you permission to build, most likely. So I like it for that. I don't know. The CryptoVoxels community, like I said, to come back, CryptoVoxels is kind of like a world reimagined where everything is just open and usable and tokenized. It's exciting in that sense.
Anything people should take a look at, you know, right now on Async?
The biggest thing with Async that we've done recently is, so we've launched our Apple TV app. And I think it's a pretty big moment for, I think, the NFT and crypto art space in general, because now crypto art is accessible to anyone within like 4 or 5 clicks. So if you have an Apple TV, and that's our first platform we want to support. But the idea is we want to make it so that anyone, even without any access, could just start enjoying this artwork. And we need more moments like this, I think. So this is just the first of many we hope for. I think a lot of what we do in the NFT space is like in a closed bubble, and like, which it's fine. It's a very good niche community, but it's a lot of like the same people doing the same things. And like, I think we need to start trying to find ways for this creations to meet the real world. It's one of our contributions to that.
Thank you so much for coming on board. And, you know, it was really good to just like chat to you and meet you in like in person.
All right. Awesome.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter at Wizard of Dapps. The show notes will be on our website, and if you want to continue the conversation, join our Telegram group. All links will be in the episode description. Thanks for listening.